Okay. Am I on? Yes, I am on. Good. Hey, today I want to talk to you about your language. Oh, bad words, cursing, using the Lord's name in vain. Are you guys feeling guilty yet? Yeah. I got some good news. I don't think the Lord necessarily cares about your four-letter words. What he cares about is the condition of your heart. But he is ultimately very concerned about the language that you use. There is an issue of semantics. And maybe you used to use some very colorful language, but then you tweaked it, right? So instead of saying the four-letter of the word, you say, oh, shoot, instead. You remember the Christmas story with Ralphie? And so, like, Ralphie has this opportunity to help Dad for the very first time change the tire on the car. He gets to do something manly. It is a defining moment. It's like a rite of passage for a young boy to get to do something manly, like changing the tire. And so it is a big deal for Ralphie to change the tire with his dad. And he's holding the hubcap with the lug nuts in it, and then he slips and something happens. The lug nuts go flying, and Ralphie goes, oh, fudge. But he didn't say, oh, fudge. He said the queen mother of all bad words and gotten himself in big trouble. But does it really matter if you say fudge or if you say the real word itself? What's the area? What's the condition of the heart, right? Because what does God look at? Does he really look at your semantics? Whether you just exchanged one use of vocabulary for another? He don't care. He cares about what is in the heart. And we shouldn't just trick ourselves with saying that we can trick our language. It's deeper than that, actually. When you become new, when you become this new creation, things begin to change. The first thing, we looked at this 2 weeks ago, is your perception about yourself and your perception of God needs to change. Going into faith, before we were saved, before we began to embrace the spiritual lifestyle, usually the perception of God is tainted, twisted, distorted, and just downright wrong. If you don't believe me, ask your neighbors how they feel about God. Ask the community, what do you think about faith? And they've got a twisted view of it. The reason why we sing that God is good all the time is because it's true. But the community doesn't believe that it's true. They think that God's mean and he's out to get you and give you a big heavenly spanking all the time, right? So changing our perceptions about God, changing our perception about ourselves. You're not a worm. You're not a loser. How you perceive yourself is not true. What is true, what is honest, what is righteous, is how God perceives you from heaven. And he's desperate to get you to change that perception, to change that lens. He wants you to see yourself the way that he sees you from heavenly places. Yeah? Isn't that cool? We have to do this when we become a new creation. The beginning of something new, those have to change. And are you ready for the next one? Your language needs to change too. What you speak is vitally crucial and important and actually life-giving. In your old life, you had a language. And I grew up is English as my first language, my native language. This is what I was used to. I'm used to using this set of vocabulary. When I went to high school, I attempted to take Spanish. It didn't go too well. And if I didn't learn the first time, I made it even worse. In college, I decided to take German. I don't know what the heck. See, no bad words here. I don't know what I was thinking. How'd you like that? I caught myself, you see? I caught myself. That's what we're going to talk about today. Caught myself. I don't know what I was thinking taking German. And I struggled and I failed. And my professor's like, there's something wrong with you. And so seriously, she's like, you don't understand these concepts. You cannot speak this language. There's a huge barrier as to why you're not getting it and everybody else is getting it. And she says, I think you have dyslexia. Because if you know what German's like this. It's like the backwards, upside down, everything's positive, negative type of language. It's confusing. And it really highlighted my learning disability. And sure enough, I got tested, and yeah, I was dyslexic. I was just able to get through my entire education with this learning disability. I just thought it was normal that words jumped around on pages. I thought that's what everybody dealt with. But when you become saved, what country are we in? What country are we in right now? What's the name of this place? United States of America. You're partly in that country, but you're also in another country. That country is called the Kingdom of Heaven. And they speak a different language there. So there's a part of you that's a little bit of heaven right now. When you got saved, you entered into heaven. You don't enter into heaven when you get hit by the Mack bus. You don't go to heaven when you die. You go to heaven now. That's what Jesus came to preach. Heaven on earth. The kingdom of heaven is here. It is now. You're looking at it. Jesus, that is not me. You're looking at heaven. And when I come down and I step into your reality and I heal your infirmities and I release the prisoners from their bondage, and when the evil, demonic spirits lift off of a family and a community, that, my friends, is heaven on earth. So you are in heavenly places now. You just don't have the language for it yet. So let's work on our language. I'm not talking about the potty mouth. I'm talking about speaking the language of heaven, a divine tongue. It creates things. In the beginning was the Word, was Jesus, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Everything was made for him, and everything was made through him. And what does Genesis 1 say? That he spoke it, that Jesus spoke creation into existence. And so this is a heavenly language. We get to speak things into existence that were once not there. Proverbs 18. You ready for this one? Write this down. Proverbs 18. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love will eat its fruit. I want to encourage you in your language. Don't be focusing on your old language. Don't be focusing on your native tongue. Begin to focus, pay attention, practice a new language of love and not hate. A new language of creating, knowing that you have the power to create something that doesn't exist, and you can kill and you can heal with the words that come out of your mouth. Want to hear one of the biggest lies in our world? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Have you heard this one before? It's a big lie. Words have meaning. They have power. They can kill and they can heal. They can create and they can bring death. And we get to choose how we use our words. I would say that today is probably one of the most practical sermons you can get coming into the holiday season. How many people are, maybe you're not looking forward to the holiday season, right? Sometimes it's difficult. The reason why we have the Thanksgiving dinner that you, if you haven't signed up, we'll just cram you in. We'll make room. It's family. It's family time. We want you to come no matter what. But the reason why we created a Thanksgiving dinner is because, you know, the church had gone through a hard time, and there was just people that just didn't have family because their families were so dysfunctional they just could not enjoy the Thanksgiving dinner. But here's the challenge for you today if you've come from a family like that. You have the power today as the Church of Jesus Christ to not only be in heaven, but carry heaven with you and walk in heavenly places. You today can change the environment at Uncle Bob's house when you go. You have to change the way not only that you perceive the situation, not only how you perceive him or her, not only how you think about the situation, you need to be able to develop this mind of Christ. You have Christ inside of you, and you are in Christ. And if you are in Christ, guess where your problems are at? And guess where your situations are at? They're in Christ as well. That's a really good thing, to have your problems inside of Christ. That means that he can solve them and you don't have to worry about it. I'm not saying you don't have to do some heavy lifting. But when we have the mind of Christ, when we're beginning to think his thoughts, when we have his mind inside of us, here's the good news. His ideas are better than your ideas. He's got some really brilliant ideas. Even though you might be a creative person and you can solve problems and you have a way around things with your brilliant little mind, Jesus' mind is inside of you and it's infinite. He's got infinite solutions to your minute problems. And we need to allow him to take charge of those areas in our life. And this is how we do it. We have to speak it into existence. We have to acknowledge that it's there, and we need to verbalize it. Because once again, there's power in the word. All right, so in your mind's eye, who's that person in your life that rubs you the wrong way? You have the opportunity to speak life into that situation. Did they hurt you? Did they stab you in the back? Did they abuse you? Power is in the tongue. You get to choose. You want to go back to Uncle Bob? He's safe, right? Let's pick on Uncle Bob. Uncle Bob's a full-blown alcohol. Do I have an Uncle Bob in the room? Oh, Bobby. Not Uncle Bobby, Uncle Bob. Do they call you Uncle Bob? I don't know. All right, let's change the name then. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Bobby. Uncle Bob is that full-blown alcoholic. The season is coming up, and you're dreading it because you know that he's going to act up. You know he's going to drink too much. You know he's going to embarrass himself. He's going to make everybody else miserable. And you have this opportunity right here, right where you're sitting, to choose how you not only think about him, but how you speak about him. The reality is he's an alcoholic. But once you verbalize that, guess what you just did? You spoke it, and you went into agreement with the enemy. Because the enemy of God's purpose for him is to him to be an alcoholic and to remain an alcoholic. But when we say these things, even though we're saying them from, we think it's from the goodness of our heart, we're speaking the truth in love. But when you say stuff, you see the stuff, I didn't use another word. When you say stuff like, oh, Uncle Bob is an alcoholic, and this even gets even worse, and he will never change. Where'd that come from? Is that what God believes about Uncle Bob? Is that what Bob believes about you? Do you ever say these things about yourself? Oh, I'm just a loser. I'm never going to change. No, where's that coming from? I can guarantee you it's not coming from heavenly places. It's not coming from the mind of Christ, who believes that everybody can change and will change. Everybody can have and imply and put on his righteousness. Everybody is transformable. That's what's true. It might not be our experience with Uncle Bob, because experience says that he's an alcoholic. But in this place, with the power of the tongue, you get to choose whether you go into agreement with what the devil is doing in his life, or you get to go into the future glory of his redemptive process. And you might even be able to activate it with your tongue. Yeah. Can you say something positive to him instead of rolling your eyes? I think that there is definitely a divine power of the vibrate. I don't know, that sounds really weird, New Agey. There's something special that is when it is spoken, right? The actual vibration in of the vocal cords is there's something to it. I can't quite put my finger on it. Yet at the same time, we have the word of truth, right? We've got the Bible, and it is true, right? And I could present you with the truth. And what I say is important. If I'm reading out of the Bible, what I say is true, it's important. But guess what is equally important? Is how I say it. And so when we get the word of God inside of us, when we begin to speak God's word, it needs to be done from a point of spirit and truth. Meaning that not only are you speaking the words of God, you actually have to believe those words of God too. And so when God can, when you say things like, you know what, God can do all things, you actually have to believe it, not just speak it. Ezekiel had this incredible vision from God. It was one of these really, I'm fascinated by these. He had one of these open visions. It's on my bucket list. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones, dead bodies. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were many, very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, there was they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? See, God's asking us these questions now. Because you're looking at your circumstances, you're looking at your friends, you're looking at your family, and you want to give up. And God right now is saying, Son of man, daughter of Eve, can these bones live? Can there be new life breathed into those that you love? And our response should not be Ezekiel's response, because I think that this is his response. He's like, I don't know. You're God. You figure it out. That's Ezekiel's response, I think. You're God. You tell me. And God says, yes. Then he said to me, you prophesy over these bones, and you say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. So who got to speak into the dead bodies? Ezekiel did. You do. You get the opportunity to speak life into an individual. And God's going to call you into that. He really will. You will have an opportunity this week to speak life or death. Choose life. Choose an encouraging word. Fancy spiritual term for it is prophecy. You get to prophesy life into an individual. And it's powerful, and it's transforming. And if it takes, oh my goodness, they will rise from the dead. Most of you are realized that you died in Christ, and now that you are a new creation, you get to steward that for somebody else. Do you have the language for it? Do you have the language to speak life into somebody else? Or do you keep on reverting to your old language? Can you speak life into yourself? I fully give you permission to be a little schizophrenic, spiritually. You should talk to yourself. Can you prophesy to your own soul? Can you build yourself up? Can you strengthen yourself in the Lord? You have to change your language in order to do it. This is what it looks like. I did it this morning on my way here. What does the Bible say? You have to capture every thought, make it obedient to Christ. I'm driving up the street. In my imagination comes something that happened this week where I forgot to do something. I was like, oh no, I forgot to do it. And guess what I did? I said, Josh, you're such an idiot. And then I stopped. Right? You see, there's power in the tongue. And if I would have called myself, I'll just say it. I think God can cover it. His grace is good enough, right? So if I would have called myself an idiot, guess what I would have started to believe about myself? You call yourself names, you beat yourself up, you take yourself from seeing yourself from God's perspective, and you begin to use the enemy's language, the language of the old life. Do you see that? The language of the old life is negative, it's complaining, it's whiny, it's gripey. Ready for this? You're not going to like it. That's the language of hell. Because in heaven, nobody complains. In heaven, nobody whines. Nobody gripes. Nobody mumbles in heaven. So we really have to change this and move ourselves into a divine language of speaking truth, of speaking life into each and every person that we encounter, each and every situation that we move into. And we quit using our old native language. Do you see it? You want to see how powerful it could be if we began to speak life, speak things into existence? Look at this verse. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I've made you the father of many nations. This was spoken. It was declared. In the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, and he calls into existence things that don't exist. We have the opportunity, the privilege, the power to actually call things into existence. You might have a really great plan and an imagination for your future, but God's imagination is better than yours. And when we begin to tap into the mind of Christ and we see what he sees in the Spirit and then we declare it and then it becomes reality. Yes. I'll show you. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So right there, the community has a wrong perception of who Jesus is. It's twisted. It's manipulated. It kind of sounds good, but it's not. We don't believe in reincarnation, for one. Number two, Jesus wasn't just a teacher, although our culture likes him because, Jesus was a good teacher, right? He taught good things. He told us to love one another. I can get on board with Jesus. He's a good teacher, but they don't take it to the next step because their perception of him is wrong. And not just a prophet like the Old Testament prophets, and he's not just a leader like the Old Testament leaders. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he spoke that out loud. You are the anointed one. You are the Messiah. You are the one that has come to save us. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by the Father in heaven. So he's thinking about things from a perspective of heaven, from heavenly places. He's sitting right next to Jesus, and he's able to tap right into Jesus' mind. He knows what is true. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosened in heaven. Then he warned his disciples. This is a huge moment. This is the first time that the church is mentioned. It stemmed from the mind of Christ, probably from the very beginnings of creation. It was in Jesus' mind, but it doesn't come into reality until this very point. This is a new beginning. This is the start of something new. This is the start of something fresh. And why did it happen? It's because Peter recognized it, he got it, and then he declared it with his mouth. I wish I was there. He literally spoke the church into existence with his words. He got it out of Jesus' brain, got it on his mouth and out into existence, and then the church is created, and the world has never been the same since. But here's what's going on. Peter, I'm not supposed to call people names, but right, because we have to have the mind of Christ, and you know, but let's just be honest. The dude is a knucklehead. Forgive me for calling people names, but he was. But he's the one, for some reason, why he got it. And he's the one that spoke it. I would venture to believe that all of the disciples believed that about Jesus. In their heart, we know Nathaniel did. I was like, oh my gosh, he's the Son of God, whatever, what's going on? And you know John did. John was the closest person to Jesus. But Peter's the only one that actually declared it with his mouth, and he created something that didn't exist before. He tapped into the mind of Christ. It's a big deal. There's a St. Peter's Basilica in existence today because of this very moment. And it's not St. John's Basilica. Isn't that crazy? What if John would have beat him to the punch? He should have. I think, in my imagination, I was thinking Jesus would be like, dude, come on, John, you should know this. And you let Peter beat you to the punch here. You let Peter create it. You should have known. When we declare things with our mouth, that things that come from heavenly places, it creates something new. And it changes. Did you see what happened to Peter? He declares this, and immediately Jesus jumps on that truth. And he says, oh my goodness, you got it. And because you got it, you get a promotion. He literally gets a name change. He goes from Simon to Peter the Rock. You begin to declare things in the Spirit, and you get a promotion. You declare things in the Spirit. How many people are dealing with difficult things? You get permission from heaven to overcome it. All the gates of hell cannot prevail against you when you speak things into existence that are in the mind of Christ. The gates of hell cannot prevail. You have permission to overcome each and every single obstacle when you speak life into existence. And you have a divine authority. I don't know if we all get this. We have a divine authority, and it's a gift. Peter got it immediately when he stepped out and he spoke something. He got a divine gift. And this gift was... You get these keys. Kind of weird, right? What's this supposed to mean? You get keys to the kingdom of heaven. How much of heaven is here right now in the room? I don't know. Not enough. How about that? Not enough. Now you speak things, you get keys to unlock doors. And there's more grace. And behind that door, there is more grace. And behind that victory, there is more grace. There's more kingdom. There's more miracles. There's more signs. There's more wonders. There's even, you even begin to develop your language even more. Your spiritual language becomes even more intense. Don't you want that? What is in store for you? What do you need to speak into existence? Who do you need to encourage with your words? What part of your language is your old language? And what part of it is the language of hell. Right? And again, I'm not talking about those four-letter words. I think Patricia skipped out. Bummer. Okay. Let me get the band to come up to the front. All right, let's pray. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And we're going to pray, and we're going to invite in the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to ask for a new language, the language of heaven, to enter into us. And it's practical and it's spiritual. You have the opportunity to speak life. You got the opportunity to speak prophetically. You get to build yourself up into the strength of the Lord by actually positive self-talk. Like, practically, you can take this message into a difficult social situation and everything will change. But there's a language, there's a prayer language that you just might need, because you don't necessarily have the carnal words to describe the condition of your heart. When you begin to pray, and you pray in the Spirit, and you use the mind of Christ, and you're praying from heavenly places, the whining and complaining and the griping towards God, the petitions, which is okay and legitimate, but there needs to be a shift. So I want to encourage you, like, in this season, like, how do I have the divine language, the language of heaven? How do I pray in the Spirit? How do I pray with a different tongue? Different language, if you will. And we're this type of church that believes in all the gifts are for today. And I am encouraged, and I am personally built up when I pray in the Spirit. We call that praying in tongues. If you want to receive that gift, we would love to pray for you. You might receive it, you might not. It could take a million years, or it could be today. But it's not a sign of spiritual superiority. It's just an encouragement to the individual. But I'm telling you also today that God is doing something in your life where you are changing and you are getting better. And I want to encourage you to be in alignment with that. If you need healing, physical healing, again, we believe that all the gifts are for today. So if you have an issue with your neck, a pain along your neck, there's healing for that today. There's actually healing for heart pain, like emotional pain. I mean, that's everybody's got that, I know. But there's a specific person, and it's as if God is calling you back to your first love. You love church, and now you don't, but God's calling you back to love church once again. So there's that. So there's healing for that today. And there's this gift for a new language, because you need to speak differently about yourself, about God, about your situation, and about those that you don't like. And if you need to make this declaration that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the anointed one, he's the one that was sent from heaven for the forgiveness of my sins, I want you to pray this prayer with me. But I want to encourage you to vocalize it and verbalize it to someone in the back during our prayer time. So let's pray as a church together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the work that you did on the cross. I thank you for making us a new creation. I thank you that you speak life into every situation. God, I thank you that you gave us the power of the tongue. And may we choose to heal and not kill with our words this week. God, I pray that you just give us a new perspective on everything, life, you, ourselves. I pray that we begin to just move ourselves further into Christ as he moves further into us. I pray in this season that you give us a hope that things can get better, that they won't stay the same. And I pray right now that we will be able to declare with our mouth the goodness of the Lord. So church, I'm going to encourage you. I want you to repeat after me. We are going to make these declarations verbally. They need to come out of your mouth if you want to move forward. Just repeat after me. I am a new creation in Christ. The old is dead and the new has come. I'm no longer depressed. I'm joyful. I'm no longer a victim. I am more than a conqueror in Christ. My circumstances don't dictate my feelings. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Jesus is moving me from glory to glory in this season of my life. I'm receiving a new language of hope. I'm receiving a new language of love. I'm receiving a new language of encouragement. I'm receiving a new language of forgiveness. I'm receiving a new language of prophecy. I am becoming the person who you've created me to be. I'm working on that person. I'm ignoring the dead person. Thank you, Lord. If you want more agreement in your life, if you want life spoken over to you, if you want to have somebody agree with the decision that you made to follow Jesus, I encourage you to go in the back and just receive more in prayer. In this time, I want you to just connect with God, connect with the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, pray in freedom. If you want to pray in tongues right here and now, you may. You have permission and freedom to do that. If that makes other people feel weird, you'll get over it. There's joy that comes from it. There's encouragement that comes from it. There's strengthening that comes from it. God bless you guys.